Woodlesford box was a lot different to Waterloo. I told you at the start, every signal box was different. Waterloo was what you call Spartan, austere. Woodlesford, it was a cosy box. It was a nice cosy box to work, a friendly box to work, because for a start, you've got a nice environment looking out onto the platform. There were people to see. Bearing in mind at Waterloo, when you looked at the, you saw nobody. You saw not a soul. As I say, you go on there and you could, especially on the night shift, you wouldn't see a soul until the next day. At Woodlesford, there was always something going off. Tom Swaby's house was across the way, directly across the way, but you could, the passengers could be actually be outside your signal box, you know, waiting for the trains going up towards Altos and Normanton. So Woodlesford, when I first went there, it had an up and down main line. And before you got to the up platform, there was a lay-by, and it used to hold about 50 or 60 wagons. You could actually say Waterloo had got a train, sent a train up here, and it was realised that there was going to be a lot of delay if this train kept going. Or I could actually stop it and back it back into this lay-by, put it out the way. But after a year or two, it was very rare it got used, so eventually they took this lay-by out. So then beyond the signal box, which the signal box was on, situated at the end of the up platform, beyond that, there was another side in there, and that was a side into the Bentley's Yorkshire Brewery. And the plate layers looked after that, they looked after the points and that into there. So there was a home signal, two distant signals, and then a colour light starting signal, a starting signal which was halfway towards Methley Siding's signal box. On the downside, the down platform was set at an angle from the up platform, where the up platform started, on the down platform started in the opposite direction. And there was a points outlet from Waterhate Colliery, where you used to let the trains out from Waterhate Colliery, loaded with coal, to go down to Skelton Grange Power Station.
How did you know there was a train ready to come out and go that way?
We'd obviously have to put the train in the first place. So once it was in, it'd take a train load of empties into the sidings. There were sidings there. So we obviously used to put the train into the sidings in the first place. So once we put a train in there, an engine with 40 or 50 empty wagons, we knew that sometime later it was going to come out with a full load. And it always was for Skelton Grange Power Station, load of coal. He's not going to bring fruit and vegetables out of colliery, is he? So we know it was a load of coal for Skelton Grange Power Station. So he would come out and he'd come to the signal. In fact, before he reached the signal, because it was a steep gradient, he'd be blasting away on the signal saying, "Come on, pull the signals off, let me get out." Because if you didn't pull off for him and let him out, then he'd have a struggle to set off pulling out 40 or 50 wagons of coal. So he'd want you to pull off for him. So he'd be blasting away on his signal, on his whistle, wanting you to pull off for him.
So you didn't
obviously, if you had a passenger train coming or something like that, or one Jew, you couldn't do that, and he'd have to come to a stand. And then he might not be so pleased with you when he passed your engine. He might give you two fingers and you'd reciprocate.
But you didn't have a telephone or a radio?
Oh, no, there was no telephone communication there, no. And then further on, before you reached the down platform, there was another lay-by there where, likewise, you could back a train in there. Well, you could do the same there or store a few wagons. There might be a wagon for the station coal supply, or the station's paraffin supply, something like that. So you could just store a few wagons there with anything for the station. It might be goods, parcels or anything. The crossover road, every signal box, virtually every signal box, there's no good having a signal box if you can't have a crossover road. So virtually every signal box has a crossover road. And we had a crossover road there, which is virtually just outside the signal box.
And what was that for?
That's to cross trains from one line to another. If the single line working, or if there's an obstruction on one line and one line's taken out, you've got to have the means to use the only line possible. So you've got to have a crossover road to get it there. So virtually every signal box has a crossover road, but not a facing crossover road, a trailing crossover road.
And what's the difference?
Well, it's in the wording. Facing means you're going to face this crossover, you're going to go straight across. Now, with a facing crossover, you have to have what they call a facing point lock. And that facing point lock is like a lock. It's locking the points in position. In other words, a train can't split the points. And it's got what they call on it, a facing point lock and a detector. The detection means detection, and you can't pull the signal unless the detector is slotted home. So that is a double security that facing point lock is correctly fitted, that the lock is, that the points are correctly over.
So the trailing crossover at Woodlesford,
to cross
the train over from one track to the other, effectively it had to reverse. That's what you're saying.
They had to reverse over. But this one at Waterloo, the facing crossover.
So it's inherently safer, that's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, much safer. But they didn't like having facing crossovers because there was so much extra expense. And on top of that, you're turning traffic onto an opposite line, which were the main line traffic. So you had to stop the job. You had to stop the main line on the opposite line because obviously you're going to go across there. So you had to stop that. So they didn't like using facing crossovers. Oh. But it had been too much procedures and too much delay at Waterloo that they had to forego that and put this facing crossover there.
So what else was inside the box as well as your levers? What can you remember about?
There was a block circuit telephone on the back wall, and the desk, the train register, was on the back wall. I think the lamp cupboard, we call it the lamp cupboard, I think that was up at the top at the back of the signal box, towards Methley side. That would hold point clips, which if something happened and you wanted to use them and you couldn't get any detection, you'd have to clip the points up, fasten them up and clip them, the big steel, well, big iron point clips. And you keep them in there. You keep a supply of paraffin for your hand lamps and stuff like that. All dirty stuff were kept in this, what they call the lamp cupboard. And then at each end of the signal box, there'd be pulley wheels. Your signals, they're pulled by wire. The wires run along the track side. And obviously with the weather, the signal wires would stretch and tighten due to the weather. So every day, you'd probably be loosening them off at night, you'd probably be tightening them up. It might have been the opposite, I'm not too sure now, I can't remember. But you used to have to adjust them every day and every night. You'd have to adjust some of your signals, especially they used to put them on where they had the longest. So they were mainly on the distance signals, which could be you're pulling from Woodlesford signal box, you're pulling now to a signal that's at Waterloo, you know, probably a mile and a half away. So you're pulling it quite a distance. And some of them used to have to put some real weight behind them to pull them. So you had to be able to adjust them due to the weather conditions because that stretch or slacken off due to the weather, the actual wire, because it was exposed to all the weather, obviously. Points themselves, they wasn't pulled through wire, obviously. They was pulled through a series of rodding that ran along the track side. And this rodding was integrated into the points. So when you pulled a pair of points were obviously all... It was heavier to pull this rod in, to move all this rod in, than it was to move the signal wires. So if you were at a box like Altoff's Junction, for example, which was a big box and a lot of points, and some of them are quite a distance away, it was hard work to pull these points.
Tell me how you communicated with the signal boxes on either side at Woodlesford.
You communicated with the signalman to either side by what they call block telephone, this telephone on the wall. Originally, there was the old Will, what I call the Will A type, but then we got a bit modern and we eventually, there was similar, like a handset, you know, with an earpiece and mouthpiece on the one. And at Woodlesford as well, we had a gas supply, but yet, even though it was just across from the station where there was running water and that, we didn't have a water supply. So it was still a dry toilet, if you needed to go to the toilet. It was still a dry toilet, unless you could fix it so between trains you could nip across to the station, do whatever you wanted and dash back if you had time. Very rare you could do that. So the porter used to come across every day and bring us two big cans of water, which lasted for a 24-hour period. There was also another perk there. I shouldn't tell you this one, but there was a perk that working at the brewery, you used to get some more liquid refreshment from the brewery. And this was recognised by everybody concerned. Everybody knew about it. Tom Swaby knew, but he also used to turn a blind eye to it. And the plate layers used to look after these points. And in return for looking after them and keeping them in good order, they used to go down to the brewery, and I think about 10:30 every morning and about 3 o'clock every afternoon. The men who worked at the brewery would allow 2 pints, and they used to get 2 pints in the morning and 2 pints in the afternoon. And so the plate layers used to go down, and they used to get the same. Donkeys years ago, before that it had started, they used to take a quart bottle from the signal box down, and they used to come back and bring us 2 pints of beer. So if you were on the day shift, about 11 o'clock, you'd come back up with a quart of beer for you. And the afternoon shift, you'd get to be another quart of beer. If you were working 12-hour days, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m, there's 4 pints of beer there. If you didn't drink it, fair enough, you could just pour it out. But the plate layers always used to bring it up for us.
And did you drink it?
I did, yeah. I used to enjoy it. I like a pint now, but yeah.
And were you supposed to drink on duty?
No. It was totally against the rules. But with one station, relief station master called Ted Miles used to come, and he was supposed to come nearly every day to sign the train register, station master. And he'd be lifting the locker lids to say, come on, where you put it? I know you got that bloody beer there. Well, give me a cup full, a mug full. But old Tom never did that. Tom, he was a gentleman. He knew it went off, but he'd just turn a blind eye to it, Tom. One day it come in, and I think I forgot, and he said, your tea looks a bit funny, Pete. I said, oh, yeah, I forgot to put some milk in, Mr. Swaby.
and it was your cup of milk?
His cat used to visit us every day, and it used to come across the tracks, the up and down main, it come across, and then to jump up onto the platform, and it all come to the signal box, because we give it a bit of bread or whatever when we're having our sandwiches on the morning shift and the afternoon. It all used to come up. And I used to say to him, Tom, one of these days it's going to get run over. Peter, it won't. It knows the timetable backwards, he said. It knows all the time. I said, come on. He says, it does. It knows all the time. I said, aye, well. Anyway, sure enough, one day it got killed. It got run over. And when he came up, I said, I told you, Mr. Swaby, it'd get killed. Ah, but Peter, he said, it was a special. It wasn't in the STN. He said, didn't know about it. He was a lovely fellow. He was a gentleman. And when the boss used to be coming, we always used to let the signalman at either side know, because there was a few shortcut signals you could send, which save you keep getting up and down, So it was an unwritten code, and there were a few shortcut signals. All these signals, we could shorten them a little bit just to ease our life. Instead, when a train had come from Waterloo to Woodlesford to Methley Sidings, we'd all have to signal it. And there's about 7 signal movements for each train. But once that train had cleared, say you're on nights, once that train had cleared, I'm in Woodlesford, that train's just cleared Methley Sidings. Now he has to tell me that train's cleared him. Once it's cleared a quarter of a mile ahead of his home signal, he has to tell me it's cleared. So, because I might have another train ready to give him. Now, I don't have a train to give him. He's got to then give one beat on the bell. I've got to get up, answer that. Then he'll give me 2-1, which says, this train has now cleared me. I'm ready to receive anything you've got to offer me. I've nothing to offer him. Now, this is in the middle of the night. He's had to get me up off the locker, and I've had to go across there to answer that, just for him to tell me it's gone. So why didn't he just go, and that tells me the train's gone, without me having to get up. So, that's how unofficially we'd do things like that. If there's another train, I've got to be there. Come back here, I'll offer you another train. So we used to do, that's what they call a bit of shortcut signalling, but it was totally against the rule. And if a signal inspector was about, or if the station master come in, to take a dim view of it. So when the signalman, this particular day, I was working in Waterloo signal box, and the signalman at Woodlesford, he used to give us a special signal. We've got a special signal, which means there's a boss coming in. So there's a boss coming in. Right, I must remember to work straight up to Woodlesford. No shortcut signals. So how do I remind myself there's a boss in Woodlesford? What do? Do you know? Well, the bell to Woodlesford, get a sheet of paper like that and stick it, make an hole in it, stick it through. That reminds me. Careful what you know, shortcut signals on this bell, there's a boss in there. So that was there. So we went in Woodlesford, and I've got that sheet there to remind me. And then after a bit, the Woodlesford signalman tapped me on. He said, Tom's making his way down to you. I said, all right. So I send a special signal to Water A, to Rothwell A, to tell him the boss is coming in here, work straight to me. And when he come in, but I forgot to take the sheet down. When Tom come in, he sat down and he used to light his pipe. He's been watching me working away. And then he said, Peter, I said, what? What's that sheet of paper on there for? I says, oh, that was to remind me that you were in Woodlesford after I forgot to take it down. He says, oh, I thought it might be. They know the game, but he'd seen nothing amiss, so that's why he was happy.